And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been dealing with Hebrews. One word summarizes the book of Hebrews.
Better.
Better. Greater. Superior. To what? To the Old Covenant. To the Old Testament. Yes, the Old Testament was the foundation of the New, but when Jesus came, the old is gone. The New, which was inaugurated by our great High Priest, His absolute superiority of our great High Priest, our Messiah, over the Old Covenant, and the warning not to disregard the New Covenant, not to retreat, not to go back to anything previously, but to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. Stay faithful to His covenant. And the two great principles we are learning in Hebrews chapter 11 is that there is one principle that pleases God in our walk with Jesus in the new covenant, and that is the walk of trust. No greater principle brings the pleasure of God than trust. But there's also the other side of the coin of trust. Do you know what that is? Obey. That's it. The theologians make the Bible very complicated. Look at theologians that I know, one that has 10 volumes of theology. And you can write on a single sheet of paper the two words that please God the most: a life of trust. And when you trust Him, you obey Him. Amen. And that's it. Trust and obey. And we've been looking at how faith pleases God. And it said, and without faith, you can please God. Didn't it in verse 6? Without faith, trust in the new covenant and what Jesus has done, it is impossible to please Him. You want to please God this morning? Show Him you trust Him. Boy, in this world and what we see, that is a difficult task, isn't it? Lord, I have to trust You in all that we see going on. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He will what to those who trust Him? Reward. There's a reward in faith. God rewards trust in Him. We've looked at some of the men and women of faith in these verses. We've looked at Abel. We've looked at Enoch. We're going to look at Noah this morning. Do you know what these are all saying? Every one of these in Hebrews chapter 11, one person can make a difference for God. As a matter of fact, it is usually only one person that makes a difference for God. Never the crowd! Never those who are in rebellion. But it was always one person. In the midst of a generation that completely rejected God, that made the difference, and that honored God, and that God rewarded. And that's what we're learning by these people that the writer has chosen. One person trusting and obeying can make the difference and get God's reward. We come this morning to the next person. And that is a person that many people, even if you don't go to church, will be familiar with the name. And that is the name of Noah. For those of you who are movie fans, please mark March 28, 2014, if Comet Ison doesn't crash into the earth and all of these conspiracy theories, because in 2014, Gladiator becomes Noah. For those of you who know Russell Crowe and starred in 2000 Gladiator, he is now on March 28th, 2014, going to play the role of Noah in a new movie coming out in theaters near you. The biblical Noah suffers visions of an apocalyptic deluge and takes measures to protect his family from the coming flood. Do you know what the significance of Noah is this morning? If God didn't have one man that was faithful to Him, we wouldn't be here this morning. You want to summarize the story of Noah? One man against all the odds trusted God. And because of Noah's faithfulness, we're here. Because all of us not only go back to Adam, but when God reset the clock, we all go back to Noah.
That's right.
That's your great-great-great-grandfather. You may look different on the outside, but all the genetics would trace back from Noah to Adam, and it was Noah who trusted God, and God rewarded him. I don't know what the movie will be like. Once Hollywood gets a hold of something, only the Lord knows what they'll do with it. But it looks like a universal deluge, and from what I'm seeing so far and what I'm reading, at least it stars Maximus. So what can I say? You know, that's beginning for me, because all I have in my office are cuirasses and swords from that one movie. But the story of Noah and his faithfulness also involves some things that's going to be mind-bending to you. You know, you see the story of Noah and you get these little books and pop-up books with the little story of all the animals, and everything looks so nice and quaint. The story of Noah and what happened presents some of the greatest mysteries in all of Scripture. And it's going to be mind-bending as we take a look for the next couple Sundays at the story of Noah, because the story of Noah is mind-bending for what happened. In order to understand Noah, you have to understand that in Genesis chapter 1, God created two people that we all go back to. Who were they?
Adam and Eve.
That's your great-great-great-grandfather. I don't care what you look like on the outside. It's all the same family. And families are fighting today. Whether you're Italian or you're Heinz 57 mongrel mutt like me, we all go back. We all go back to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve fell, did they not? They didn't trust God. God said to Adam and Eve, what? Trust me, don't eat one thing. Obey me and I'll bless you. Guess what they did? They blew it. But God wanted to redeem man. So the whole history of the Old Testament, especially Genesis 1 through 11, is God getting ready to redeem man from the terrible situation that Adam and Eve caused. Now let me ask yourself something. Who do you think doesn't want to redeem men?
Satan
could never figure out why God would want to save dirty, stinking humans. You ever thought about that? Angels don't smell, do they? Angels don't get dirty, do they? Angels are beautiful, aren't they? And yet God decided to save dirty, stinking humanity. We get dirty, have to take showers. And as a matter of fact, the Scripture says that God is going to glorify in Hebrews men above angels. Did you know that?
Yes.
God's going to make you greater than the angels. Did you know that? That's what redemption involves. He's going to conform you to the image of His Son. And we're going to be greater than the angels. But I'll tell you something, there's a great mystery in the Bible that we're going to have to get into with Noah to show you that he was a man of faith. There's a great mystery in the universe, And it's going to sound strange to your ears because all you hear is the little story of the animals marching to the ark. Oh, aren't they cute? Those, you know. And there's Noah, but there's something massively, massively mysterious about the story of Noah. And guess what? The Bible doesn't tell us much, but you have to know one thing. Man fell. God said in Genesis 3, I'm going to redeem mankind. Restore him. And there's one person that did not want man restored. One being that we don't know much about either. Who was that? Who resists the purpose and plan of God? Did you know that? Tell you, the greatest thing he ever did was make people not believe that there is such a being known as Satan, the adversary, Lucifer. Now, with that in mind, we begin our story of Noah because this is going to be mind-bending for people that may not have considered the full story of Noah, that I wonder how Russell and company will handle what we're about to start. And I'm going to leave you, I only have 7 more minutes left. I'm going to leave you with something greatly mysterious just because I'm a mean, ornery preacher. And I'll let you think about this. Go back now. It says here in Genesis, or in Hebrews, by faith Noah, warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark. Well, why did Noah have to prepare an ark? Have you ever thought about that? Well, you say, because man sinned. Oh, it went way beyond man sinning. I'll tell you something. There are some mysteries in the Bible, and God hasn't chosen to tell us everything. But it wasn't only sin that caused the flood. So let's go back. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6 and let's look at one of the greatest mysteries. You think history is mysterious? How come you always get a history professor who reads his notes dry as dust? There were people that I had, they'd read their notes. Well, I can do that. But history has some mysteries in it, especially in the Bible, that will leave you scratching your head, trying to understand. And God said, trust me, there's something more in this universe than I have chosen to tell you. Genesis chapter 6. It's been many years. Adam and Eve are dead. Enoch's gone. Abel's been murdered. We don't know the population of the earth, but there are tens of thousands. They were prolific in those days. Families, 18, 20, because they lived longer and were healthier. Big families. 2 children are a small family comparison to what families were in those days. And if you were before the flood, you lived longer and you could produce for a longer period of time more kids. Ladies, can you imagine your first 20? Maybe your first 40. They were prolific. Men began to multiply on the face of the earth. And daughters were born to them. And of course, through daughters you have what? Ladies, you are the most powerful ever is. No man can ever give birth. Don't let them ever tell you anything different. And when I have seen 4 children being born, you are tougher than any man could ever be. When Bethany was born, Sandy looked at me with steel-cold blue eyes and said to me, that is the last one. The incompetence of the anesthesiologist when they gave the epidural. Can you imagine, ladies? They had no epidurals in those days. The pain of childbirth. Ladies, you are tough. Could never do it. Matter of fact, they spent more time on getting me up off the floor in the delivery room than they did working on Sandy. He's fainting. Grab him again. So when it says daughters here, it's referring to daughters to have children. Daughters of what? So daughters of men mean daughters born from men. Okay, no problem. So far, great story. Tens of thousands of people, daughters are being born so that other people can be born. They're having trouble in China, you know, because so much this birth policy. There are 60 more million men than women. Now there's not enough women to go around to have families. Yeah, maybe too late. Then it says this, and I leave you with this because this is the strange thing about the story of Noah. Ready? Daughters of men. I can understand that. How many of you have had a daughter? Okay. That the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. Ladies, remember that. Because this is very significant. Ladies, remember that the sons of God saw that women were beautiful. Men are ugly, ladies. It is women that are beautiful. Men spend all day looking at another guy and say, "What did she see in him?" Remember, I have the rule. I never insult the women in the church or I'm a dead man. The women are beautiful. The women are nurturers. The men are warfaring, testosterone-driven, you know. But listen to me. Daughters of men, sons of God. That sounds strange. Wait a second. Daughters of men, I understand. But who in the wide world, who in the Sheol Hades? I can swear in the pulpit and you'll never know I'm doing it. Who in the Sheol Hades are these sons of God?
Angels.
Well, if that's true, this is a weird story. Now, I'm going to prove to you, yes, you're right. Something very strange. And I'm going to show you that sons of God, I'm out of time this morning. I told you I'd have to leave you in a real bad position. But if you want an assignment this week, which I don't give assignments at church, and at school they never listen to do their assignments anyway, we're going to trace that word, son of God. Sons of God. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't refer to anything human. Now listen, what went on in the flood is one of the strangest stories, and I'm going to take you to the New Testament that affirms that same story. That these sons of God saw ladies, women. And you know, they found them what? Now, what did God want to do? Redeem man. Adamic men and women. If you were Satan, what do you think the most strategic way to destroy the ability to redeem men would be?
Children.
No. Rob them of their connection genetically to Adam. By introducing foreign, this sounds weird, foreign elements so that men are neither Adamic, there's something weird in between. Julie, I know you're not hallucinating from the flu. Trust me, we're going to go through this. This is one of the, and what happened was, we're going to find out, so many half human, half something else were wandering the earth. We don't know what. Maybe the story of Hercules we're going to find out was true. Maybe Hercules came from our ancestral memories of this event. Weird, huh? We're going to talk about this. And one man and his family were the only ones left against this satanic plot of destruction. And I'm going to show you this in the coming 2 weeks about how the daughters of men were found attractive by the sons of God. Ladies, the next time you see a person and he's male, look at him and go, is this guy really human? Some of you may have been married to some of these type of people before. Okay, I'm out of time, but this is where we're going. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because only his family was left uncorrupted by this great mystery of what happened at the time of the flood. So, now that we've left you totally weirded out thinking, I have to attend another church after that sermon, we will start to prove this for you next week. And you'll know that, by the way, how many have ever seen these stories about people being taken aboard these craft and sexually exploited? You can bet where that's coming from. So now that you're spooked out and think I'm an at, look at Julius Loing, he's lost his mind. You have to be crazy to be a preacher.